evening, everybody. How are you doing?
Good evening.
Good evening, Apostle.
We'll give everybody a chance in. Good evening.
While we're
allowing everyone to get in, I want us to be praying for Sister Nicole. She lost her aunt yesterday. So we're going to be praying for her. And then Shannon sent me some information on a guy. His mother used to be a member of Refresh. You may have seen it on the news because we saw it on the news just before I came upstairs. He had just dropped his child off at the daycare, and he was murdered. So I don't know. It's been a while back. I think she was a member. His mom was a member, Shannon, when we went to other church.
Like 06, she moved to Georgia, I believe. 06, 07.
Okay. So I did see it on the news before I came up. So we're going to be praying for anybody that's lost a loved one. We really, this book on grief, these grief support groups are extremely important. We have to make sure we use the term grief support groups and not counseling, because it takes on another form when we use the terminology of counseling, but just support. We will be working on really maximizing when we do a homegoing service, have those grief support groups, all the information. I thought about it in the last service we'd done for Christopher Turner. As I was walking in, those are moments that we maximize on making sure that we get information to people. Many of them are non-members, so we can really capitalize on helping those people, especially in that actual moment. So we'll make sure we have information on hand. We'll have the teams set up, be ready to minister to those people on the spot, whether it be at the church. I prefer at the church. That way we can monitor the resources that are going out, as much information as we can. We can gather that right on the spot, because nobody goes to the emergency room when everything's fine. So the emergency room is for people who are in crisis. So grief support, grief information is for those people who are in crisis. Those people are very open at that point in time in their lives for help. And that's what ministry is. So we want to make sure we avail ourselves in those areas to really help those people who are coming in. You never know, some may come back and become members, some may not, but whatever their choices are, our responsibility is to help as many people as we can. I've really torn down those walls to where we only focus in on people who are members, because the world is different. And because it's so different, you can't minimize and be isolated in your thinking like that. You'd be no different than the priest that passed on one side and then the Levite passed on the other side. Neither one of them helped the guy that had been ravished. It was a good Samaritan that came by. So we have to learn the position of a good Samaritan, so that when we see people in need and we have the resources, I have what we need to help them, we need to just execute that and help those people as much as we can. I don't advise giving out a bunch of money, but I do advise getting wisdom that's needed so that you can dispatch wisdom or get them to a source that can help them more. That's very important. So, but thank you all for getting on. We had about 95 individuals who are on. If you don't mind, if you're not at a place where you can't, I like to see you. And I want you to get accustomed to that, because the higher you go in environments, especially in Bishop Jake's arena, you're not going to be on there if they can't see you. So if you're not in a place, and if you're in a place, I understand, where you can't show your picture, but I would like to see you as we're talking, especially, regardless of what we're talking about right now, which will not be as deep and as important, but get accustomed to showing yourself. Because the higher you go, people want to know who they're talking to. So we see your name up there, but if you're not, you know, your hair is not in a bun or you're not in an environment that you, you know, you can't show your face, that it would be nice if you did. Especially, you know, the ones who are newer at serving. So we wanted to make sure you were included, and we would like to see you. We would like to see your posture. Posture is everything. I feel like posture speaks very loud. You can always mute your phone, any background noise. You can go ahead and mute your phones, and that way we won't pick up any background noise. Also, as Sister Mona's birthday today, I gave her a shout out first thing this morning. I texted and then gave her a shout out on social media as well. So she's on. I hope that you didn't stop your celebration, Mona, tonight to get on. Okay. Tell Tank and Shook, their uncle said, and Danielle, and I know Danielle's on somewhere, take care of Sister Mona real good on my behalf, and they gonna pay for it. So, but again, thank you all for coming on, and a happy birthday to you, Sister Mona. I don't know if Vicky McKinney, her birthday is also today. I don't think she's on, but those of you who know how to contact Sister Vicky, you can wish her a happy birthday. I know most of the praise team knows how to get in contact with her. Well, I want to just talk about a few things tonight. Really, I want to be more encouraging to you. And that was my intent of coming on, is just to encourage you and thank you for your services and thank you for what you do and thank you for the positive energy that you bring to the table. And that means a whole lot. It's much easier to get things done that we need to get done when you have positive perspectives and you gather and have an understanding of what we're trying to accomplish. Because not one thing that we're trying to accomplish is selfish on my side or Lady Davis's side. We're always thinking about everyone all the time. We're considering everyone all the time. And that's the way we've always been, and we'll always be that way. That will not ever change. It can only change in your mind, because reality says it will never change. That's not our DNA. We've never been that way. We never will be that way. Why change for the worse? Because to be selfish is to change for the worse, and we're just not going to be that. We're unselfish people, and we'll continue to function that way. And I want to thank you all for all the birthday wishes, birthday gifts, all the cards and all that kind of stuff. I really genuinely appreciate it. It's needed. Sometimes we don't realize how much, you know, doing ministry is totally different than doing business. But doing ministry, you're constantly giving, constantly encouraging people, constantly just giving of yourself. And then when people give you a card, it's not just about what was in the card or what's in any card. It's the words that people express towards you and their gratitude for what you're doing and how you're serving, and them knowing and recognizing what you're doing, because you know how much you pour out. Your family knows how much you pour out. But when people give cards and expressions, it lets you know that, hey, people do recognize all the hard work that goes into pastoring. If I'd known that it was going to be as difficult as it is, and you're going to be moved in so many emotional ways, I probably would have ran from God for a while. I wouldn't have been as excited, but I do love serving the people that God has called me to serve. And I love seeing people helped and strengthened and advanced in life. So I told Chelsea as I was leaving out that I felt like I needed to do a Zoom call with you, and I told her to go ahead and send it out. I like for everything that I do to be positive. That's, you know, just my perspective. But what I want to do is I want to show you your value, because a lot of times we miss out on how valuable we are, and that can be inwardly, that we think like that and process like that. It possibly has nothing to do with the outside. It's just low self-worth. Certain environments that we were raised in, certain things that we still punish ourselves for that's long gone. All that can be impacting the way you see yourself. Positioning in a place, in an organization, in a church, in a business, that's not all the time your value.
Apostle, you're on mute. We can't hear you.
Just clicked over there. Thank you. It just clicked on mute. Something wants to, well, anyway, I'm still here. But you get your value from internal. External environments do not impact your value. You can allow it to, but you cannot, you have to make a choice that, you know, I am valuable because God created me. God preserved me. And you got to see it like that, or you'll begin to create environments that are toxic for your own self because of the way that you're processing. So I want to help you with something. And I'll tell you some of the things we're going to be doing. You'll be the first ones to really hear what we're doing on December the 12th. And then I'll possibly announce it on Wednesday. But I rested for a little while after I gotten home trying to help some people. So I didn't, after I left the office, I was pretty much working. I was on call after call, trying to resolve some things, some challenges that a family is having. But once I was done with that, I sat down and tried to rest just a little bit. And then this particular scripture came to me out of Hebrews 3 and verse 4 down to verse 6. And I'll read it in just a moment. But it's talking about a house. And then all this stuff flooded me. So when I thought about the scripture, read the scripture, I went back on YouTube and I watched them build a house from the ground. I watched them build a house. So to make sure I had adequate information and make sure I had understanding. So when the Bible mentions a certain word that stands out to you, then I encourage you, this is how I function. I go and I research it. I go and figure out, okay, if you're expressing that, what does that mean to us? So in Hebrews 3, verse 4 down to verse 6, it reads this way. For every house is built by someone, but he who builds all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterwards. Verse 6, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are. We are his house, whose house we are. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. So if we're his house, we should be holding fast to confidence, rejoicing in the hope firm until the end. We all know it's not the end, but this is how we become his house. So when I went and I started to look on YouTube, and you can find anything now, you don't have to be ignorant about anything. I went and I started to watch them step by step build a house. Now, the problem can be arise sometimes when we don't know our value and our place in the house. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to read through some of the steps of creating a solid house, and then I'm going to come back and I'm going to show you where your place may be in that house. Okay. So every one of them are important. But what I've done, I tried to make sure I am demonstrating each part. So number one, you have the footing. Then you have the foundation. The footing and the foundation is a little bit different. You have the studs and you have the sheeting. I'll read over these again slowly. And then you have the HVAC. You have the plumbing. You have the electrical. You have the sheetrock. You have the windows and doors. You have painting. You have flooring. You have fixtures. And then you move in the furniture. Okay, so in that particular order, pretty much is how the house is built. So I go back to the footing. If the footing ever chooses to be the furniture, we are in trouble. The footing has to know its importance. If you don't know your importance as the footing, you'll become a fixture that can be changed out with remodeling. I want that to soak in. If you're the footing, you never look at a fixture that's going to be changed out with remodeling. I want you to process that, because sometimes we want to be what's getting all the attention. which means our existence is not long term. I'm right now, we've had the inside of our home repainted. We still have more we're going to repaint. And we had discussions about the fixtures. One thing about the fixtures, they go out of date. The foundation doesn't. The footing doesn't go out of date. Let's go into number two, which is the foundation. So the footing, you dig the footing, you concrete the footing, and then you begin to lay the foundation, which is more concrete. We have multiple garages here at our house. At one, you can't see the foundation. You can't see it. In the other one, which is lower, you can see where they pour the concrete. So it's not, you know, blocks. It's a concrete wall all the way around. And you can see that. But if you never go to that part of the house, you will never see that. But the importance of it is this: that foundation is right over our master bedroom. So myself and Lady Davis, we sleep over that foundation every night, every single night. Our master bath is over it. Although it's upholding, it's keeping us at rest because it's a solid foundation. Now, if that foundation starts moving, we're in trouble, especially if it moves while we're asleep. We're in trouble. So the foundation is extremely important. So from the foundation, now you go to the studs. And once you put up the studs, you also have the sheeting that goes around the outside. Most people think, and they talk about, well, I want a brick house. Well, every brick house has studs, it has sheeting. So it's a wood house before it becomes a brick house. You understand what I'm saying? Because if you don't go back and look, you think that that particular house that's bricked is completely bricked. No, the same wood that goes up for paneling is the same wood that goes up for a bricked house. So understanding the studs are going up, then exteriorly, there's sheeting on the outside, there's sheeting on the floors, there's sheeting on the roof. The outside sheeting is a little bit more thin than the flooring in the house, but it all has to go through a sheeting process. Floors and exterior walls receive that sheeting. So you could fall into being the sheeting on the floor. You can fall into being the sheeting on the outside of the house before the brick goes up. You can fall into being the sheeting that's on the roof before the shingles are put on. You can fall into any of those categories because the Bible says we're a house. Now, if you undervalue the sheeting on the roof, we're going to get rained on. If you undervalue the sheeting exteriorly, we're going to suffer simply because you don't like being the sheeting on the exterior. So you go from there, and then before you get into the sheetrocking, and this is based on what I observed on YouTube, you got the HVAC, which is placed in the house while the studs are there, while the sheeting is on the outside, because it's easy access. So there's a purpose for everything that you do. Some people, when they're building, and you have to understand building. Some people, they will put certain things in certain places at the wrong time. The home that Sasha lives in that we had built, they had put up the studs. And when they put up the studs, the bathtub. It was too large to get through the door to that particular bathroom. So they had to remove studs in order to get the bathtub through because it was too large, because they weren't thinking about where and how much room they had. So sometimes building, there's different people. So this HVAC is placed in at a certain time. They have full access. They can route whatever they need to route before they go in with plumbing. So plumbing is next. Then the plumbing comes in. And then, which would be number six, the electrical comes in. You don't put sheetrock on those walls until the plumbing and the electrical has been placed inside of that house, because they need to see behind those walls. So you have your studs, you have the sheeting on the exterior, but nothing's on the interior of those walls. And it's that way for a reason, because you got to run the plumbing, you have to run the electrical. You do not do that. Any person who's worked on electricity, they have to get inside those walls in order to work on electricity. And when you think in this way, God creates this kind of stuff so we'll better understand what's supposed to be happening, how things are supposed to work. Because if we don't, sometimes we get frustrated and we don't devalue everything, but we devalue ourselves. And a lot of that comes from our low self-worth within ourselves. Some of us don't believe that we're valuable unless we're seen. And we want to make sure. We can't increase your value from giving you a mic, from putting you in a certain position. Your value starts within you. You have to know you're part of the house. So you have your plumbing, number five. You have your electrical. And then after your electrical is in place and your plumbing is in place, then you start sheetrocking. So the sheetrock that you see inside the house. So inside of my house, I started to walk you around the house while I was doing this, but I don't get good signals throughout the entire house, so I couldn't do that. So the sheetrocking is now placed over the electrical. If you remove that sheetrocking, you will see electrical wires running everywhere. You will see plumbing running to different places if you remove the sheetrock. So the sheetrock is there. It covers up the studs. It covers up the electrical. It covers up all of the plumbing. And then you have the windows and doors that are placed in. The windows and doors are not for people to see in. It's for you to be able to see out. So anything that's looking in without your authorization is a peeping Tom. They're for you to look out. The doors are for you to go in and out, or you to invite people. So the doors are placed and the windows are put in place. These are very, very important, especially windows, because windows are there so you can see outside. I mean, you can tell what the atmosphere is like. You can always tell when a person is suffering I would use the term, and this is not always the case, but depression makes everything seem dark outside. It's because their windows are closed. You understand what I'm saying? That when if something's being blocked, I love, first thing we do, and we got a lot of windows at the back part of the house. So to my right, there are windows that go up. The tree is 12 feet. It's about 18 feet or more. Those windows go up about 18 feet because we've always loved windows. So the windows go from the floor about 18 feet up. So we always see the sun shining in because that's what we enjoy. So one entire wall is nothing but windows. So that's very important to us. So once the windows and the doors are in, you have the painting. Now, this sheetrock, who has a color, has a neutral color, is in for a rude awakening because the paint's fixing to go on. And the paint is determined by the owner. But this paint for each room, whether it's the entire home, we recently had, you know, the house painted. Well, it was last year internally. And with that internal painting, we had to lose the color that we had, but we didn't lose the sheetrock, and we didn't lose the studs, and we didn't lose the electricity, nor did we lose the plumbing. But we lost that color. That color is no longer in this room. This bookcasing behind me is white now. It's a glossy white. It used to be a cream color. It's no longer cream because paint's on it. So when the paint comes in, it doesn't change the structure, but it does change the color. You have the flooring. We have carpet upstairs and we have, you know, hardwood floors. The people who built this house, they were builders. So this house is very solid. It's built very solid. So we have really quality hardwood floors in this house. But there was a certain point when these hardwood floors were put down. Now, the hardwood floors doesn't have an option, or the carpet. It doesn't have an option whether it's going to be walked on or not. It was placed there to be walked on. So, you know, certain positions is going to have traffic on it. And you got to understand that. If you don't understand that in a house, well, why would you have floors? You have them because you have to walk on them. So in a house, this is what God calls us. He calls us a house. So there are some surfaces that are created to be walked on. Then you have your fixtures. Like I told you, we've been looking at how we're going to change our fixtures out. The thing with the house that we live in, the quality of the house demands that we put certain type of fixtures. So our fixtures are going to be pretty expensive as we change these out. So we can't just go get something, you know, no disrespect to Walmart, but we can't just go to Walmart and get a fixture that's going to work in our house. That's not going to work. Not for us, and surely not for Lady Davis. So the fixtures come in, light fixtures, you know, all of that comes in. And when that comes in, because the wiring is there, the studs are in place, because every light switch on your wall, or those who, you know, are more modern, when you see that little panel, that panel behind that sheetrock is connected to a stud. If it's not connected to a stud behind that sheetrock, then that light fixture, I mean, that switch, after so long, is going to become weaker and possibly fall from the wall. I do this. I have a stud finder for every picture that I'm going to hang in this house. If I want it to stay up, I have a stud finder. So you test the stud finder and you wipe across it, because I can't see behind it, behind the sheetrock. And I'll use that stud finder and I find the stud, so that whatever pressure I'm putting with whatever picture, whatever pressure is on that wall, the pressure is not on the sheetrock. The pressure is on the stud behind that sheetrock. So I'll find that stud and I'll put a screw in that stud through the sheetrock, and then I'll hang my picture. I just hang 4 pictures just the other day. Every one of them is not hanging on sheetrock. They're hanging on the stud because I used the stud finder. So understand that when you're hanging fixtures and stuff like that, when you feel like you're not significant because you're underneath paint, you're underneath sheetrock, you're a stud underneath the sheetrock, and then you think you're not important. The proof that those studs were important, even though we couldn't see them, the proof that they're important, those 4 pictures are hanging on that wall. I'm looking at those 4 pictures right now. And those 4 pictures are not going to fall easily because I used a stud finder and I found a solid place to attach it to, so that I would make sure that those pictures were not weighing down sheetrock. You got to understand those type things. And if you understand those type things, whether we use it, and when we get ready to do something, just like I use a stud finder to get ready to hang those pictures, I use a stud finder in the Holy Spirit to see what can handle the weight of what I'm fixing to put up. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. After you've gotten your fixtures and all that in place, then you bring in your furniture. The worst thing you can do is bring in furniture when the plumbing is being done, when the electrical is being done, especially while the sheetrock is being done. You don't want to bring in furniture. You have to either cover furniture or remove furniture when you're painting. When we had the house painted, which I hated it because I had to move all my furniture out. I had to move all the furniture out. I wasn't going to risk them getting paint on my furniture. So I had to move all the furniture out. And then, so when you move your furniture in, you're ready to now live in that place. So I just showed you really, because I connected the studs and the sheeting, because they go together, and the windows and the doors, they go together. I just showed you 12 things, and it was intentional because I'm all about numbers, threes, fives, sevens, 12s. I love it, because if you give me those, then you're going to give me a healthy environment to work with. So let's just talk for a moment. Let's talk about value. If I've been around a long time, maybe I'm the footing, foundation, studs, sheeting. if I'm not the contractor, then I'm going to fall in these categories. Now, with these, the footing, the foundation, the studs, the sheeting, guess what? When everything else in the house changes, that will never change. Move yourself to a fixture and see if time doesn't change you. Time will change you. Everybody's modernizing everything. Time will change you. So if you've chosen to undervalue your footing, your foundation, your studs, and your sheeting, that's a problem within you. That's a major, major problem within you. Because you got to understand that the value, your stability comes in your identity. And if you fail to know that your footing, the foundation, the studs, and the sheeting, then you just gave away your value. Now, the fixtures are always seen. The footing's not seen, the foundation's not seen, the studs and the sheeting, they're not seen. But they're the most valuable when it comes to the house. There are people who want to impact the atmosphere. If you're not part of the HVAC and the thermostat, you shouldn't be in control of the atmosphere of the house. And those of you who, since it's gotten cold, all you do is walk up to your thermostat and dial in what you want, that thermostat that does not operate without all the other mechanics that goes along with it. So those of you who had your air to break, or you had your heating to stop, let me tell you what happens. If that stops and that's your area, you call a specialist in or you have a replacement. The worst thing that could ever happen is, I don't think Jeff Carter's on here, but he had to replace my unit upstairs in the attic. I have one downstairs. I have one upstairs in the attic. He had to bring his whole crew out here to get the old unit out and to put the new unit in. It's difficult. It's difficult when things that are foundational, when you have to replace them. It's very difficult. It's easy to replace. I could possibly replace a fixture, but when you have to replace foundational things, the footing, you have to dig into the footing, you have to go back and you have to remove studs and the sheeting. It gets extremely expensive and time consuming when you have to deal with those things like that. So those things were put in place so you wouldn't have to deal with them. You should never have to deal with long-term people like you deal with a fixture. That should never happen, because that should always be stable. That should always be in place. That should always be something you could trust. That should always be something that when you're walking through, you should never have to question that. I don't go look at the foundation of this house. I do not look at the foundation. You should not have to look around for those people. They should know their value. They should know their place. They shouldn't be complaining when you change the exterior nor the interior. I'm still in place. This is a house. This is out. If something's going wrong, then it's because that part of it has lost their identity. If your joy is not in place and you're part of the footing, the foundation, the studs, the sheeting, the HVAC, something's wrong internally. Because I'll use the word proud. You should be proud to be a part of the house. That's just simple. Unless you want to build your own house. I never would have wanted to build. I built a house. I never would have wanted to build a house like the one I'm living in now. Because that's stressful. There's things in this house that were not in the house that I built before. It was not there. The size of it, it was not there. I would not want to go through the agony of building a house this size, even though one day I'll live in something larger possibly than this, unless I just choose to go to small houses. And I'm thinking a lot about that too, so I can be closer to Lady Davis. But you have to understand this, and this is where the enemy is tricking you. And he's telling you you're not valuable. He's telling you that you're not a part of the house, and that is a lie from hell. Scripture shows that you are a part of the house if you hold fast and have your confidence and rejoice in the hope firmly to the end, then you have value. If any devaluing has taken place, it's because you forgot who you are. And that's how the enemy gets you. You forgot who you are. You forgot that you were the footing. You forgot that you were the foundation. You forgot that you were the studs. You forgot that you were the sheeting. You forgot that you were the HVAC. So you don't warm the house anymore. Because if you're the HVAC, you warm the house. You make the atmosphere and the climate feel good for all the people who are coming into the room. If any parts of these things fail, you can tell, because it brings so much instability to everything. If the plumbing clogs up, you can't be plumbing and clog up. We're in trouble. You can have plumbing problems. If you have plumbing problems, all your sewage can back up inside the house. When it starts to stink in the house, it's because the plumbing doesn't want to do its job. And you have to understand that from the perspective of a house, you live in a house. You live in a house. Walk through your house. Let your toilet back up and see how you feel. If you're a part of a house, you should be functioning in your area, not looking around at everybody else's area and say, I'm not going to flush because the light fixtures are too cute in this bathroom, so I'm not going to flush today. And that's how a lot of people who lost value, who don't understand their responsibility, that's how they do. They stop flushing. Now we got a backup that's impacting the floor, and if you got carpet, it's going to be real stinky down there. All because you don't like your position. You're lusting and coveting the light fixtures that are only going to be there temporary. That's what coveting and lusting is. You're lusting after something that you don't want to be what you're supposed to be, which is more, it holds more value. If you're going to have an appraisal, those are the things they're going to look at. That they're going to look at the foundation. They're going to look at those things. They don't put as much interest in a light fixture. So if you cheapen yourself by your own way of thinking, there's not much we can do. If you don't like being a part of the foundation of things, and you don't like people having to walk on you and build, and you don't feel the higher they go, it's because of the foundation, the footing, and all that kind of stuff that's laid, and the studs in the wall. If a storm comes through and the walls are still up, we have the right studs and we have the right sheeting. And it preserves the entire house. And you have to see it like that. If you don't see it like that, you don't really know your place. You got to find your place. You got to find your identity. If we need power in the house, you know, you can't cut the electricity coming through the house, the voltage, and then have power in the house. Whenever you see a powerless house, there's a disconnect out there. That's the only way you can go without power in the house. The sheetrocking is very important. Yo, it covered up some things that are not cute. Take all your sheetrock around and walk around in your house. You know, all the insulation that's behind the sheetrock, you know, and let it get cool. You think it's cold now, remove that sheetrock and that insulation and see how cold it gets in that house. See, all those things are important. We never give any value to those things. You want to know why we don't give value to them? Because we've been watching these fixtures so long, we don't give any value to the things that's really meaningful in the house. And we don't give any value to the thing that we're called to do, because we think that if I can get there, then I'm more important. No, if you're not important where you are, you're not going to bring value, because I don't want to see the plumbing trying to light the house up. God has built you, wired you for a certain place, brought you around for a certain time, placed you in a certain generation. He was intentional about placing you in a certain generation so that you can be a certain thing in that generation. Now, if you don't do with your generation, your 40 years, we may say, if you don't know what to do with it, then you're going to either cause some problems or you're going to have a rough ride for that season that you're in, because you don't want to be what God created you to be. And that's just plain and simple. The windows, the doors, those are entrance ways, exit ways. You know, those are, we can see better when the windows are doing their job. We don't have to go outside to figure out what the weather is like. We can see out there. We don't have to wonder who's outside. From this room, from where I am to my left, I can see right at my front door, and I have a circle drive. I can see every car that pulls in my circle drive. I can see every car that's going in and out of my neighborhood from this room where I'm sitting right now. Without those windows doing their job, I don't know who's sitting in front of my house, and I don't know who's driving in and out this neighborhood. And knowing the importance of those windows. So I want to open up your eyes, because some of us become blind. We don't know our responsibility anymore. We've completely lost our identity, and we're looking at things around us saying, I wish I was that. I wish I was that. So now we can't even see out the window. Now we can't enter and exit, because people don't want to play their role anymore. But I got seniority. If these windows ever start saying they got seniority, it's time to replace them, because they're leaking. And the doors, if they ever refuse to open, we're going to replace them. But they have a responsibility, and those doors and these windows are to do their responsibility, because they were created for that. Do not set a toilet at my window telling me that's the way it's supposed to be. The painting changes in and out. It changes everything. You know, look at the church. The church was brick. When many of y'all joined the church was brick. It was red brick. It's not anymore. Why isn't it? We painted it. We changed the whole look of the outside of the building as well as the inside of the building. You'd be surprised at what just a coat of paint will do. But before we painted it the color that it is, they primed it. I was a little bit frustrated because the prime on it, I thought they had messed up my color. And then some people were coming in seeing the primer and say, I like the primer. The primer looked good. That was a great color, Apostle. I'm like, that's not the color I picked out. But the whole building and everyone from one shift conference to the next shift conference, people were blown away, because when they came up to a church that was no longer red brick, but it had paint on it and it looked really good and it had quality paint on it, the people were blown away by the paint. You know what? But in another year or so, if we want to paint it again a different color, we can change that. It's the same building. It's the same brick, but just you can change the paint. So paint doesn't have long-term value. So we can change that. The paint doesn't have the value that the footing, nor the foundation, nor the studs, nor the sheeting, nor the HVAC, it doesn't have that. you got to understand the thing that can last the longest, it's what has the most value. It's what you're going to do, you're going to base your appraisal on. We have the flooring. You know, you can decide whether you want carpet, whether you want linoleum. I hope you don't want that. But, you know, hardwood floor, it's a surface for you to walk on. These surfaces are put in place so you can walk on. You cannot put fragile people in flooring because they can't handle being walked on. You're going to have the right people for the floor because every day they're going to get walked on. Every single day. And with a ministry like ours, there's a lot of traffic. There's a whole lot of traffic. And you put flooring where high traffic is. That's where you use the flooring, where high levels of traffic is. You don't put flooring. Why should I put flooring in a place nobody's going to walk? You put flooring in high traffic areas. And then finally, we get to the fixtures. That's all the bells and whistles. That's the sound and all. Praise team, I love you. Choir, I love you. Musicians, I love you. But we had all this stuff before we had that. We didn't have no good singers. We didn't have no musicians. We didn't have all that kind of stuff. We just started really getting good stuff like that. But before we had all that, we had the footing. We had the floor, the foundation. We had the studs. We had the sheet. And we had the HVA, which impacts the atmosphere in the room. We had the plumbing. We had the the electrical. We had the sheetrock. We had all those things. And then all these other things. And we're not saying we devalue you. We're not saying that. But there's a lot more that keeps a house going than those components. Platform ministry is not what keeps a house going. If you move forward and you get around real people who are very successful, they know that. They know that. It's just those of us who are having identity crisis, we don't know that. So I wanted to run you through that because the quicker you start valuing the place that you are graced for, the more furniture we can move in the house, the more fixtures we can use, the more stuff that other people are looking at. They're looking at that, but they don't, unless they are part of building the house, they don't know what it takes. So let them enjoy the house. So myself and Lady Davis, we enjoy this house. We enjoy it because everything's in place. Everything that we're not having to wonder where we're going to step. We know everywhere we step is going to hold us up. We're not pushing on the walls to see if they're still going to, they're going to hold up or the wind's going to blow them down. We don't do any of that. When we flip a light switch, we don't feel like it's electrical problems. The light has blown. We change the light and we keep going. You see, everything in its place in a house, doing its job, not competing with anyone else, just doing its job, bringing stability. That's where the value comes in at. Let me tell you one reason we went ahead and bought this house, because we knew builders built it. My real estate agent, they were builders before they built this house. So they knew what goes into building a stable house. You can try to put glamour over on somebody who doesn't know about building the house, and you can get these inexpensive things that draws people attention so that they'll buy. But I'm like, what's behind the walls? What's underneath the carpet and the hardwood floors? That's what I am concerned about. What's underneath all that kind of stuff? Because those who really understand building, they want to know what's behind it. Because this is how apostles, when they come to Birmingham, when they come into the church, they know you couldn't have done all this if you would have had cheap material underneath. They know that. They know they're no, you cannot build a ministry like this if you have cheap floor and you have a shaky foundation and you have studs that are not in place. There's no way you could have built this. And they've told me that before. Bishop Tudor Bismarck is one that tells me all the time. He said, Bishop Davis, there's no way you could have built this. There's no way you could have had this type of atmosphere that you have without your HBAC in place. He said, you can't do that. They know that. So what you have to do is you got to know your value. You got to know your value without a microphone. You got to know your value without being on a platform. You got to know your value without having a title. Because see, if you get a title and you don't know your value, you're going to decrease the operation of that title. You're going to decrease the function of that position because you don't understand what your role is. Longer doesn't mean that you change your position. There was a guy, he's no longer in our church, but I told him, you'll be a deacon all your life. You ain't there's nothing else. You're going to be a deacon all your life. Most people think you can upgrade. Well, it means you're growing. So you start off in one area, but once you mature in a certain area, that's it. Learn how to enjoy it. Some people, they're going to be a doorkeeper till the doors fall off. That's it. Just enjoy that. That's your value. Be happy about what you're doing. Get excited about what you're doing. You don't want my job. I tried to give it to Miss Covington. She won't take it. Because she experiences every day she's in that office what I'm going through and what I have to deal with. You don't want my job. Because my job is not platform ministry. My job is much deeper than platform. And I got to make all these decisions, many of those decisions, I am not equipped to make. I have to trust God in some of those decisions. And if you get a chance to sit and wait to make a decision, I have to make a decision. It's very important to make a decision. So I can't be afraid to make decisions because decisions are what defines me as a leader. So I'm constantly making decisions, constantly. But that's my role. And I know I can't say, well, let me pray 40 days. Do you know what all can happen with me praying and fasting 40 days for an answer they need right now? So once you know your place, I know my place. I lead well from my place. Chelsea asked me, she said, I don't know how you deal with it. How you deal with family, how you compartmentalize things. How do you juggle? Because she's there, she's seeing everything. And she's seeing me go from one meeting to the next meeting. So she's trying to figure out how in the world are you able to do that? Because if you're not the right person, the first meeting will bleed over into the second meeting. And this first and second meeting will bleed over into the third meeting. So by the time you get to the fourth meeting, that's really important. You're not hearing anything that they're saying. You're not even there in the meeting. So whoever that fourth person is, they're not going to get adequate information. They're not going to get your full attention. And we do appointments so that I don't bring some other meeting into the meeting. So I leave one, decompress, remove all that. Now I got to give my full attention. I got to hear from the Holy Spirit concerning this individual that I'm talking to at this moment. I look at a lot of contracts. I was looking at a contract this morning. This morning, I was looking at a contract. So my mind has to be in the place of that contract. I have to have healthy people around me that are very detailed, especially when you're dealing with a contract. Because if I sign my name, it's a done deal, whether it's for us or against us. And what I realized that, you know, I made some decisions that haven't been beneficial for the ministry contract wise. So some of those contracts, you know, and I'm talking about things I signed off on. I am so glad the first part of next year they'll be over. I don't know what to do. But that's part of it. That's my role. Now I can teach you about it if that's something you can learn from, if that's your area. But if it's not your area, I can't teach you about things like that. I can talk about it. But your role is very important. Know the value of your role. Hopefully this has been helpful. to all of you, and go just watch on YouTube. Watch them build a house. Because if you're going to build a business, you better make sure you got the footing. You better make sure you got the foundation. You better make sure all these things are in place. This is very important. Don't try to put the light fixtures up, because you will be hanging them on limbs because you don't have the proper material. Refresh is not built on limbs, and it's not built on fixtures. It is not. I never would build, because I think like an apostle, I would never build something that couldn't stand through a storm. It's just not going to happen. And I'm not going to build something that impress people who are not going to help me to keep it up. So understand your role, value your role, because if you don't, you're telling God, I don't like the work that you've done. You're not telling Refresh, you're not telling me, you're telling God. God, I don't like the decision you made. Can a thing form to speak to the thing that formed it and say, why have you made me this way? Go ahead and pull it up. It's in your Bible. Somebody pull that up. Google it and read it. How can a thing form say to the thing that formed it? Go ahead and pull it up. Yeah, if I'm the footing, I'm going to be a good footing. If I'm the foundation, I'm going to be, I almost say a doggone good, but I'm going to be a real good foundation. I promise you. But you ain't going to ever have to worry about me. It ain't going to be no slipping in the foundation, because I know I'm a foundation person and I'm fully anointed to be the foundation person, and nothing's going to cause me to move, because if I move, it doesn't matter how many light fixtures I got. It's like an earthquake, all that stuff coming down. Did anybody find that scripture? Did anybody Google that? If you Googled it, come off of mute and go ahead and read that.
I did. Awesome.
Okay. Go ahead, Miss Belser.
It's Romans 9:20. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? King James Version.
Okay. All right. Where you want to be versus what he wants you to be. I can't help you if you want to be something other than what he wants you to be. You know, there's no grace on it. There's no anointing on it. There's nothing. You can't trust it. You can't trust things like that. I'd rather be behind the scenes making somebody look good. I really would. I could make a preacher look real good. I'm telling you, he wouldn't have to think about a thing. All he would have to do is think about his message. I would have so many things in place for him that he would think that he's got legions and legions of angels. It's just me. I would give him something, because I would think so far ahead that anything that he would think he needed, I would have in place for him, because that's how I think. But I wasn't given the privilege to remain in a role like that. I've never served a senior pastor in that capacity, but I know I could serve one well. I don't know why, because he felt like if I ever got a chance to serve like that, I never would have embraced my assignment. Because I enjoy serving, but I get the privilege to serve many people because I love serving. And everything I do is to accommodate others. Everything I do. Everything I do. Even when you don't like what I'm doing, I'm doing it to accommodate you. Even when you don't like it. And you won't know what to like until you really embrace who you really are. But every single thing that I do is to accommodate others, to get to the destiny that I see in them that sometimes they don't see in themselves. I will set you up to succeed if you want what God wants for your life. I will oversee the footing, the foundation, the studs. I will be the inspector to make sure that the walls don't fail. I would make sure that the plumbing didn't fail, the electricity. I will make sure none of those things fail. It is my responsibility as an apostle to make sure that you don't fail at the thing that you embrace that God has called you into. I would never put you out there in a situation where you now you feel humiliated for the next 5 or 10 years to where you run from God instead of embracing what God has for you. That wouldn't be fair to you. So that's how all of it works. You know, we used an hour. I hope this has been helpful to you. We recorded this. Chelsea, I want to make sure we get this, make this available to all of Refresh Pastors for sure. All of our Apostolic Global Impact, let them show it to their people. Because yes, guys, sir. I'm telling you, you know, there are things going on around us that's causing us to throw our value away, to throw our identity away. It causes us to lust for and it lust don't have to always do with sex and men and women. It lust and coveting stuff that gets us so far off that now, you know, we've lost ourselves. We really lost ourselves. And we wonder where the blessing is. The blessing is in your true identity. And there's, you can't find a blessing of you outside of your identity. Blessings, healing, victory, all that stuff is within your identity. You embrace your identity. And I'm reading a book by Bishop Jakes now called Identity. The part that I've been talking about Elijah and Elisha, that's in that book. That's in that book, and I'm reading it right now. I'm almost finished, but it's a book by Bishop Jakes written years and years ago, called Identity. And every time I read, it's right where I am. It speaks right to me every single time I pick that book up. And I'm always reading something to better myself so I can be a better person at what I'm called to do. I don't read a whole lot of material outside of what equips me for what I'm called to do. I don't have that much time. So when I pick up a book or if I listen to audio, it's something that equips me to be what I am. That's what I read. I don't read fiction because I live a real life. And Lady Davis doesn't like fiction either. So and nothing's wrong with that. I did not say it's something wrong with reading fiction. Nothing's wrong. Miss Patton, keep reading your fiction books, girl. No, nothing's wrong with that. You read that for entertainment. But for where I am and how busy I am, I have to make sure that whatever I'm using to equip myself is what's going to help me to be a better servant, whatever role I'm playing, to the people I'm called to serve. And that's how I equip myself every single day. I'm going to let you all go. Thank you all for listening. I hope you have been empowered. I've spoken to 110 of you. And it was intentional. Thank you for your service, whether you're serving on the first and third or you're serving on the second and fourth. Do your best. Have a great attitude. Grow when you're sitting, because when you get up, you can function really well. When I have time to sit, I grow. I don't have it that often, but when I do, I grow. And y'all are the recipients. When y'all hear me, when I get up, it's the proof that I received while I was sitting. That's what keeps me going. I'm not a machine. I have to fuel up. I have to sit. I have to learn. I have to be teachable. I have to humble myself. That's what keeps me going. And it'll keep you going as well. So you all have a blessed night. We're going to have a whole lot of fun. We're going bowling again on December the 12th. So we're gonna have the whole bowling alley there in Trustville, spare time. You know, bring your kids. I'm not paying for the arcade. You have to pay for that for your kids. Hopefully you're the first ones to get there. We're only feeding 200 people. So if you're not the 200 that gets there for the food, you're going to have to play for your food and for your kids to play video games. But we're going to have the whole place on December the 12th that evening. We're going to have a whole, it's everything, bowling, everything is free except for the arcade, I think. I'm correct on that, but you'll be able to come in and have a whole lot of fun. I'll announce it on Wednesday night to the church. But we're going in. We ain't taking sides. We taking over. Okay. So make sure you set your schedule so you can kind of have a whole lot of fun. I love you guys. I care genuinely about you. Lady Davis does too. And we're only in this. We want God to say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. We want to hear that. And we're not going to change that, what we do, so we'll hear something other than that. So that setup is something we wanted to do to give to the people that we love and we care about. And we wanted to make sure it's safe for you and safe for your family. So, you know, they have to be members of Refresh. You can't go cross town and call some people that's non-members. So don't do that. It's for the members of Refresh, those who are serving and our members. So tell your cousin them, you'll meet them afterwards. Because if they're not a member of Refresh, they're not going to let them in. Okay. But again, we love you all. Many of you I'll see in the morning at 6 a.m. on the I Am the One segment. But just go back and just watch Building a House. You'll see pretty much all that I've spoken about is within there. And you're God's house. So enjoy your role. Enjoy the place that God has for you. If you don't know, if you stay around people who do know, you'll find out exactly what your role is. And it doesn't take a long time. And there's a lot of fulfillment and protection that goes along with that. So have a good night. God bless you. I'll see many of you in the morning. If I don't see you in the morning, I'll see you on Wednesday night. God bless.